Good morning. Today's daf is Chaf Ches in Bechoros. We are in Chaf Zayin Amud Beis. We started the fourth parak of Bechoros yesterday. Tipul, dealing with your Bechor. You have a Bechor that was born into your flock, and the essential question that the Mishnah has been dealing with, and we'll be discussing for a good part of today, is how long you have to handle it. How long you have to deal with it. So, Ad Kama Yisrael Chayim Litapa B'Bechor, I'm just reviewing the Mishnah, which is the platform for our Gemara today. So how long do you have to deal with your Bechor? So if it's a small animal, 30 days, and for a Gasa, it's for 50 days. Now Rashi pointed out back on the Mishnah that this is talking about Bizman Azed, this is talking about nowadays. Because nowadays, there's only one thing you can really do with your Bechor, and that's wait. If it's a Tam, if it's a non-blemished animal, there's nothing to do with it. Meaning obviously you're going to give it to the Kohen, but even when you give it to the Kohen, then what? Wait. We're just going to wait. We have to wait till it develops a blemish. So you don't want to give it to the Kohen right away because Kohen can't eat it himself right away. So, and it's got a nurse from the mother. So there's this 30 to 50 day waiting period, according to Rav Yossi, 3 month waiting period for the animal to nurse until it finishes nursing. And at that point in time now you want to give it to a Kohen, so you may give it to a Kohen. But for the first 30 or 50 days, so you have to just simply let it wait. Now, the Mishnah pointed out that Bizmana Beis HaMikdash, if the Kohen wanted it right away, you could give it to him right away. Why? Because he can offer it as a carbon right away. There's no need to wait. Because as a tam, as a non-blemished animal, you can bring it as a carbon. Good. But that's when there is a base of mikdash. When there isn't a base of mikdash, simply nothing to do. So might as well let it finish nursing from its mother 30 to 50 days. That's what we learned in the mission yesterday. And an ensuing Gemara discussion that we had yesterday. Gemara went off on a tangent yesterday regarding Truma of Chutz La'aretz. And we finished with the tangent. We're back to the Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah went on to make other points as well. The next point of the Mishnah, which is what we're going to be starting with this year, this morning, you'll see why I just made that mistake, is because the Mishnah says, HaBechor Nechal Shana B'Shana. The Bechor should be eaten within its year. Shana B'Shana, Bein Tam, Bein Bamom. And it doesn't matter whether it's a tam, whether it's baal mum. Really, your primary objective is to eat it within the first year. Why?
The year is a calendar year.
Oh, that's a Gemara's discussion. Why? Shenamar lifnei Hashem Elokecha tochlenu shana bishana. But that's easy to answer because the Torah says so. Shana bishana. Okay, let's take a look at the Gemara. The Gemara now is going to pick up on this part of the Mishnah. Two dots on Chaf Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara says, "Bechor nechal shana b'shana midikamer nola b'mom b'soch shnaso." It said that it developed a blemish within its year. L'meimra d'lashana didag maninan. So when we say year, we mean not calendar year, but we mean year, meaning what everyone understands as year, your birthday. Now we're talking about the birthday of an animal, but that's exactly what we mean. Meaning that when the Mishnah is telling us that really, or I should say better, when the Torah is telling us that you should be eating it within its first year, that means its birthday.
You have to,
every time the animal is born, you got to record, born on. Now, how do I know that? So the Gemara is going to give us two. Hang on. So minan imilu amar Rav Yehuda amar Rav. The amar kara lifnei Hashem lokecha tochlen shana b'shana. The pasuk says in Parshas Re'eh that in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu you eat it shana b'shana. Ezu shana shenichnesa bechaverta. Meaning the Torah gives us a funny way of describing a year. Shana b'shana or shana b'shana. I don't know which one's grammatically correct. I should look it up. But the point is that it's a funny way to say it. Year. Year in year, shana b'shana. So the Gemara says, what do you learn from here? That you can have an animal that will experience two calendar years within its own year. That works only if you're counting its own year. Haviyomer shana shabachor. Perfect. So shana shabachor. So the animal's born, right? The calendar year begins and ends on Tishrei. Now let's assume Tishrei, Aleph Tishrei. Okay, 5772. Okay, we more than started. 3 months into the year, 5772. Okay, good. So let's say the animal's born today. Today is Tezayin, right? Tezayin Kislev? Okay, so today is Tezayin Kislev. So that means now that next year, Tezayin Kislev, it'll have completed its first year of life. It also will mean that the animal lived in the year 5772 and 5773. Okay? So that is Shana B'Shana. And Shana B'Shana only works if you're counting it from its own birthday. So that's Pshat number one, and that is Tana, no, I'm sorry, that's Rav. We're just going to call that Rav. And the next opinion is Debei Rav. Debei Rav, or if you would prefer, Debei Rebbe. Right? That is the Shita Mekubetzis. Debei Rav is a little bit strange because Debei Rav means the yeshiva of Rav. And that means that the yeshiva is arguing with the head of the yeshiva, otherwise known as Rav. It's a little bit strange, not crazy. But Debei Rav, Tana, Shana B'Shana, Yom Echad B'Shana Zu, V'Yom Echad B'Shana Zu. Totally different halacha. Nothing to do with experiencing 2 years in 1 year of your life, but rather it's telling you that it's possible to eat the animal this year and the next year. How are you going to do that? Especially considering the fact that you have to eat the animal within its first year? It's easy. Because you're going to shech the animal on the last day of the year. Now, you know, Bechor is a shlamim. With the regular rules of shlamim, how long do you get to eat your carbon shlamim? 2 days, with the night in between. So now you're eating it on day one. Day one is the last day of the year. And now what the Torah allows you to do is eat it the next day. All right, but the next day is already the beginning of year number two. It's okay. So that's Shana B'Shana. That's what we learn out from the halach of Shana B'Shana. Limit al-Bechor, Shana Chal L'Shnei Yamim V'Layla Echad. So you can eat the Bechor for 2 days and one night in between. And so therefore what comes out now is there you're eating it year one and year two. So it's again, you want good trivia for Shabbos. How is it possible if the Torah says that you have to eat your Bechor within the first year, so how is it possible to eat your Bechor in year two? Okay, but now you know the answer. Because it's a Shlamim, you have 2 days. Day one was the last day of year one, and day two will be the first day of year two. Debei Rav Menalahu. So now, again, you have your Gemara counting. Because we have now one Pasuk, and we have two halachas derived from that one Pasuk, conflicting halachas. No, it's not true. It's not conflicting halachas, but they're just two different halachas. So how does Rav know about Debei Rebbe's halacha? And how does Debei Rebbe know about Rav's halacha? So obviously they're going to have to marshal in other sources. So Debei Rav Menalu Yalfim Ei Kachim. So the Gemara says, well, Debei Rav, as far as they're concerned, they learn from Kachim. Meaning, how do I know that an animal's year is gauged by its its own year, and then it's not a calendar year? So we learn from Kachim. Meaning, in general, this is how we measure Kachim. By its year, not by the calendar year. The obvious next question, well, how do we know about Kachim? The Kachim Gufaihu Minalan. I'm Rav Acha Yaakov, I'm Akra, Keves ben Shnaso. Keyword over here, Shnaso, its year. Shnaso shalom, velo shana shal minyan olam. Okay. V'rav nechal shei yamim v'lai la'echa menale. What does Rav know the halacha that a Bechor is eaten for 2 days and the one night in between? How do you know that? So nafgalei mi, u'bisaram yelach, kechazea tnufa, u'kisho kayamin. So, learn it out from a pasuk in Parshas Korach. You know, there's so many different places where the Torah talks about Bechor, right? Parshas, it starts in Parshas Bo. There's a reference in Mishpatim. There's a reference in Korach. There's a reference in Re'eh. It's like it's scattered all over. So in Parshas Korach, it says, pasuk, perek yudches, pasuk yudzayin, ach Bechor shor, Bechor kesev, o Bechor eiz, lo sifte kodesheim, okay, so when it comes to the firstborn animals, so the Torah says it's kodesh. You can't redeem it. You offer it on the mizbech. And we say to the bechor, you know the entire animal. You know what the entire animal is like to you? It's like chazeh hatnufa. It's like shok hayamin. What's the Torah saying? Meaning, in a regular shlamim, what does the Kohen get to enjoy? The Kohen gets to enjoy chazav ashok, right? Those are the parts of every shlamim that goes to the Kohen. What the Torah is telling us over here is that when it comes to the Bechor, the whole animal will be to you like chazav ashok, right? Because the Kohen gets the entire Bechor. So Hikisho Katzav Chazav Shoksha Shlamim. So what the Torah is doing is the Torah is making a hekish. And the Torah is saying is like, you Kohen who normally get Chazav Shoksha Shlamim, for you the Bechor, the entire animal is like Chazav Shok. And now all we're going to do, it's very simple, it's just simply extend the halacha. By Chazav Shok, what do we know? 2 days and one night in between, because it's Chazav Shok of Shlamim. So to over here, Bechor, same halacha. 2 days and one night. Malahal Shnei Yamim V'Layla Echad, Avkan Shnei Yamim V'Layla Echad. The Idach, so now the Gemara goes back. That seems to be an excellent source. Why do you need another source? Ima Hatzamikla Memer Chazav Shok Shol Toda. Well, because if that's all I had was that Pasuk and Korach, the Torah doesn't specify which Chazav Shok. Torah just simply says Chazav Shok. I might have thought Chazav Shok is referring to that of the Toda. Carbon Toda is only eaten 1 day and the night after. And that's it. So the Idach HaMakra, L'chayyeh, host of L'cha, Kasov, Havaya Acheres Bebechor. Now the Torah says, L'chayyeh, L'chayyeh means we're saying to the Kohen, it is yours. Meaning, and it's a possessive form, meaning Kohen, you get it, you get to enjoy it. If we're just limiting it to just 1 day and one night, we wouldn't be using this language of L'chayyeh. L'chayyeh gives the indication that it really is yours, meaning enjoy it for 2 days. The Idach, I'm going to leave out next couple of words, as per the instructions of the Shita Mekubetzes. The Idach, we'll just skip next 4 words. Hayiyelach limit abechor ba'mumshe neosna lakoin. No, the Yielacha or Yielach is coming to teach us that even if the animal is a ba'mum, you still give it to a kohen. That's what I need Yielach for. Shalom etzina lo b'chol ha'tara kula. Because, yeah, I do need that. Where else do we find that when the animal becomes blemished, oh, it's okay, give it to the Kohen. That doesn't exist in any other carbon. Meaning in all other carbonas, what happens when it becomes blemished? Game over. Game over, you take it home, sometimes you have to redeem it, it still has residual kedusha, psula hamukdashim, but generally speaking, discussion over. And here in the Kuril de Bechor, it develops a blemish, I still give it to the Kohen. That's a chiddush. So the Yiyalach is coming to tell me that the Bechor Baal Mum still goes to the Kohen. V'idach Amar Uvisaram Echad Tam V'Echad Baal Mum. So, and what about the other opinion? I know that already because the Torah says Uvisaram. It's flesh, and the Torah doesn't make any distinction, any delineation between a Bechor Tam versus a Bechor Baal Mum. V'idach Uvisaram Dehani Bechor Stekul Yisrael Kamar. No, Uvisaram, even though it's stated in the plural, just simply means Bechor in general. Bechor in general goes to the Yisrael. But I might have thought that that's on the Bechor Tam, not the Bechor Baal Mum. So the Yiyalach is coming to tell me that the Baal Mum also goes to the Kohen as well. Good. All right, so question. How do I know that when we say a year, we mean the year from the day that it's born, and this is not talking about a calendar year? So there essentially are two answers to that question. Either the teaching of Rav, which is Shana B'Shana, meaning it's experiencing 2 years in its first year. How does that work? It's very simple. Because once you're measuring it by its birthday, so then everyone, except for the person who was born on the first day of Tishrei, everyone's going to be experiencing the 2 years in that first year of life. Right. Good. That's answer number one. Answer number two is it's true by all karbanos. And Bechor is just including all karbanos. Now, how do I know by all karbanos that we measured by its year, kevis ben shnaso. Okay? And then the Gemara went through its accounting of what does each one do with the other one's pasuk. Continuing in the Gemara, so now the Gemara is going to go back to the Mishnah, and we're going to try to understand that last part of the Mishnah. The last part of the Mishnah was tough to understand.
This means that each one has to pass at least one Pesach. Each animal has to pass.
Yeah.
Just like Yasham and so on, we have to pass one Pesach.
Yeah, but it's not. This is not right. But
like if it was born in June, you cannot sacrifice it until. Like,
no, no. You should no. The idea is that it should be eaten within its first year.
Oh, it should be.
Should be eaten within its first year.
It should not go to Tishrei.
Right. Should not. It should not. It shouldn't linger. Yeah. We're giving an end time in terms of when you should have it eaten by. It should be eaten by the end of its first year.
So the deadline is 2 Tishrei.
Right. Right. Hard deadline meaning after the first year. Well, we'll see in just a moment in terms of how hard a deadline it is. last part of the Mishnah, if you look back at the Mishnah, it's first, again, the opening Mishnah of the fourth parak of Bechoros, just tough to understand what the Mishnah is talking about. Okay, I'm going to review. Okay, the Mishnah goes on to discuss. Now again, this part of the Mishnah is talking about Bizman Hazeh, nowadays. Okay, so again, nowadays, really the only thing you're hoping for is that it develops a blemish. Nothing else to do. We don't have a base of Mikdash, can't be offered. So, no la mum besoch shnaso, rashai la kaimu koshne masar chodesh. Okay. If it develops a blemish within the first year, so you can hang on to it for that first year. Now, la achar yud beis chodesh, ain rashai la kaimu ala lamed yom. What if it develops a blemish after a year? 30 days. How did that Mishnah work? What's the simple pshat of that Mishnah? So watch the Gemara struggle now with this part of the Mishnah. Ibai lohu. Heichi kamar. The Gemara's question is very simple. What does the Mishnah mean? No la lo besoch shnaso. Rashai lekaimu kuyid beit chodesh. Ula acha shnaso nami shloshim yom. Is the Mishnah one statement? Is the Mishnah simply saying that it's 12 months plus one more month? Is that what the Mishnah means? O Dilma, or maybe no. The Mishnah is two totally separate statements. Heichid denola bo mum besoch shnaso, rashal ha-kaim o-kol shnei masar chodesh, v'sulo, that if it develops a blemish within its first year, you should really not hold on to it more than 12 months. You should not. V'heichid denola achar shnaso, and if it develops a blemish after its year, ein rashal ha-kaim o-kol shnei masar chodesh. So then you only have 30 days. Okay. Now, you understand, by the way, okay, before we go further, a couple points. You understand, we're obviously talking about Bizman Hazeh nowadays, meaning in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the Torah says, Tochlanu Shana B'Shana, you should eat it within its first year. So, Torah's pretty clear that really your deadline of eating is within the first year. So what are we talking about after a year? Because we're talking about when there is no Beis HaMikdash, and as a non-blemished animal, there's nothing to do with this animal. You just simply have to let it wait, sit and wait. So all you're doing is waiting for it to get a blemish. So now, one way to understand the Mishnah is that if it gets the blemish, so within its first year, you have a year plus 30 more days. And then the Mishnah is not talking about what if it develops a blemish afterwards. Which is strange, because then you're missing out a very basic halachic issue. Which, I don't know, meaning, and the Mishnah just doesn't discuss it. Or the other possibility is that the Mishnah is entertaining both aspects. If it gets develops a blemish within its first year, good. So then you eat it within that first year. Why? Simple. Because the Torah says you should eat it shana b'shana. Because the Torah says that really you should eat it within its first year. But what if it doesn't develop a blemish within its first year? And again, we're talking about where there's no Beis HaMikdash. So there's nothing to do but just wait. So once it develops a blemish after its first year, so then you need to eat it. Now, I'm going to say it like this, although you'll see where I'm coming from in just a moment. You really need to eat it immediately. In other words, you're after the first year. Like, you're on borrowed time now. Because the Torah says Shana B'Shana. But You're not to be blamed or faulted. There's just nothing you could have done with it prior to developing a blemish. But after you're over a year, so you know what? Eat it immediately. But the Chachamim understood immediately is a little bit rough. So you know what? We'll give you like a little bit of a cushion. 30 days. Right? That would be the other way to understand the Mishnah. And what the Mishnah is essentially dealing with is two different halachas. One halach is, what if it develops blemish within its first year? You have to the end of the year. And the other halach is, what if you have a blemish develop after the first year? Then you're given 30 days.
Can't he claim that he's waiting to give it to
Bedek Abayis? It doesn't belong to Bedek Abayis. It belongs to the Kohen. It's a Bechor. The only recipient of it is going to be a Kohen, and the only time he can eat it is if it develops a blemish. It's very limited. So Tashma D'Tanya, so the Gemara is going to try to figure this out. The Gemara is going to quote a Braisa. Bechor Bizman Hazeh. Yeah. Here the Brisa says it clearly. We're talking about nowadays. Look, as long as you don't show it to a chacham, you can hold on to it for 2 years, 3 years, right? Remember, we had this language on Shabbos. We said, the Gemara on Shabbos says that as long as you haven't shown it to a chacham, it's still a tam. It's still a non-blemish animal. What if it actually has a blemish? It's fine. Still a tam. Now, from the moment that you show it to a chacham, no lama b'soch shnasor v'shalei kaimo kol shnei masar chodesh. So you can keep it for that first year, even though it has a blemish. Acher shnasor ein rashai lekaimo afilu yom echad ve'afilu sha'achas. Now, after that first year, how long can you keep it after that first year? Nothing. Not one day, not 1 hour. Ava mimnei hashavas aveda lebalim. But now the Braisa says it beautifully. Right, we didn't see this in the Mishnah. Right, there's an aspect of Hashavas Aveda, right, lost item. Meaning, look, it has a blemish. And now what? Now you want to give it to a Kohen, and you want to let a Kohen enjoy it and eat it. It belongs to him. You have the koach, you have the ability to determine which Kohen it is. But that's it, meaning it doesn't belong to you, it belongs to him. So now you have another 30-day cushion to basically give it to a Kohen to allow him to eat it. Now, good, the Braisa was great. But you know what the Braisa didn't do? It didn't really answer our basic question.
Wait, what's Hashavas Aveda mean here?
Hashavas Aveda means belongs to the Kohen. It's not really Hashavas Aveda. Kohen didn't lose it. But the idea is that it still belongs to the Kohen. You want to give it to the Kohen. So you have now this 30-day extension, if you will, of giving it to the Kohen. After a year, really, you have nothing.
Wait, and it has a mum or it doesn't have a mum?
Of course it has a mum. If it doesn't have a mum, go back to the beginning of the Braisa. If it doesn't have a mum, 2 years, 3 years.
Yeah.
Right.
But if it does have a mum, I didn't know you have to give it to the
Kohen
if it had a mum.
Bechor, you're confused between Bechor and all other Karbanos. I'll see if I can unconfuse. By all other Karbanos, if it develops a blemish, so you get to keep it. You also have to redeem it. And it has residual kedusha. That's called psulei hamukdashin. Right. The bechor is totally different. The bechor is matnas kahuna. It belongs to the kohen. It's no different than truma. It's no different than challah. I mean, it is different. But I'm saying, but from the aspect of it belongs to the kohen. In Parshas Korach, right? The Torah, after a big fight between Aaron, big fight. I mean, you know, Aaron didn't do much in terms of fighting. But between Aaron and Korach, in terms of, you know, who's rightfully the Kohen. So, you know, Aaron won the fight, fair and square. Okay. So now the Torah says, and Aaron, now here's your prize. And it goes through all the matanos, all the gifts that Aaron get as a Kohen and his descendants. Right? And so what you're going to find as part of that long list, you're going to find Shuma, you're going to find Challah, and you're going to find Bechor. Bechor is Matnas Kahuna. So once it develops a blemish, it belongs to the Kohen. Okay. Now, balance that with the fact that without a Beis HaMikdash, the only thing the Kohen can do is wait till it gets a blemish. Because you can't eat it without a blemish. Without a blemish, you need a Beis HaMikdash. Okay, the Kohen can't just simply say, I'll build the Beis HaMikdash. It's not going to work that way. So now what's going to happen is you're going to wait. So the Braisa starts off, the opening point of the Braisa is 2 years, 3 years, meaning if it doesn't have a blemish, you can hang on to it. You're not going to want to, but you can. Because what are you going to do with it? But once it develops a blemish, now you're on the clock. Okay, now what does that mean, being on the clock? So again, the Braisa is not 100% clear, much like the Mishnah was not 100% clear. Either the Braisa is telling us that if it develops a blemish within the first year, you have till the end of the year, and then you give an extension of 30 days. That's one way to learn the Braisa. Or the other way to learn the Braisa, and again, it's the same question we had in the Mishnah, is that if it develops a blemish within the first year, that you have to the end of the year, done. Meaning nothing after the end of the year. What do you do at the end of the year? We'll discuss that in just a second. Or if it develops a blemish after the year is over, then really you should have no time, because you're on borrowed time. After year one, at the end of year one. After year one, it develops a blemish.
From
its birth.
Oh, I see.
So then really you have no time, but the Chachamim said, you know what, Hashavas Aveda, we'll give you a 30-day extension.
If
If you have no time, that means that.
It means that we'll see in a moment. The Gemara is going to tell us you got to shecht it.
You got to shecht it and then find the kohen.
Right.
So an animal that's 9 months old. An animal that's 9 months old, right?
Yeah.
That animal with those blemish. You have to wait till that animal is 12 months old.
No. From 9 months into 12 months, now you got to eat it. Meaning from month nine to month 12. You're now going to desperately look for a kohen and say, here, it's a bechor.
But I'm saying, you have to, within the first year, once it's developed, within the first year, you have to give it a kohen. Is that right?
No. From the time that it's born to its first year, that's basically your statute. That's your statute of limitation. Meaning, for eating it, the Torah says that it should be eaten within its first year.
But if it doesn't have a devotion, you just can postpone that.
So, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, this was very easy. Because you simply bring it, either A, it's not blemished, and you bring it as a carbon, or B, it develops a blemish, and then the kohen can eat in the privacy of his own home.
Okay.
Done. Now, when there is no Beis HaMikdash, so now we understand the Torah wants you to eat within the first year, but the Torah also understands I may not be able to.
Right.
Because if it's not blemished, I'm stuck with it.
Okay.
Good. So now what the Mishnah is essentially teaching us is, here's the story. If it develops a blemish within the first year, eat it within the first year, as per the Torah's instructions.
If it doesn't
develop a blemish within that first year, so either we're now straddling two possible explanations of the Mishnah. One possible explanation of the Mishnah is you're stuck.
You just have to wait until it develops a blemish.
We'll discuss it in just a moment. Or the other possibility is you have a 30-day extension. In other words, after that 30-day,
what happens?
Wait. Okay, good. But you're right, up to speed.
If after the second year there's a blemish, you have only 30 days?
Essentially, that's what we're going to say. Even though right now the Gemara is entertaining a different possibility. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, good. Even after we learn the Braisa, I'm still going to ask the same question the Braisa. Okay, good. What does that mean? Does that mean 30 days after the first year, or does that mean 30 days in general? Tashma. So the Gemara says, okay, I'm going to quote another Braisa. No lo mum bechamisha asar yom besoch shnaso. Let's say it develops a blemish 15 days before the end of the year, before the end of its year. Okay? Mashlimim lo chamisha asar yom achar shnaso. Okay. So now you get to the end of the year plus you get 15 days after that. Okay, so what do you see? Right. That after it develops a blemish, you basically now have an extension of 30 days. But 30 days from when it gets its blemish. Shema mina. So the Gemara says, so that's exactly the point. The point is that really you have till the end of the year. And from the time that develops a blemish, you're going to be given a 30-day extension. But not a 30-day extension from the end of the year. A 30-day extension from whenever it gets a blemish.
If an animal is 9 months old,
yeah,
gets a blemish,
right?
Do you have 3 more months to
yes,
give it?
Yes, you have 3 more months because the Torah says shana b'shana.
Now, if an animal is 12 months old and gets a blemish, then you have another 30 days after.
Correct. And if the animal is 2 years old,
yeah,
and only then it gets a blemish, you still have 30 days.
So it's like a 30-day extension once they get over the one.
Correct.
More.
Correct.
What's the situation is like the day before the year is over.
The day before the year is over, so you only and it develops a blemish when on that day.
Yeah,
but then you're given a 30-day cushion.
No, before the year
is over. Understood.
The
Braisa gives an example of 15 days. So you're given 15 days to end the year, plus you're given another 15 more days from the time that it develops a blemish. And when we say develop the blemish, I'm pretty sure we mean that you have a chacham. Right, because as we pointed out, the blemish is a halachic reality. Mistayel Reb Elazar, Damar Reb Elazar, the Gemara says supportive, totally supportive Reb Elazar. No, it's not Shoshi Yom, Mishashin Olabam. Perfect. Reb Elazar says it clearly. Now, why don't we just quote Reb Elazar earlier? But I'll tell you what, because we were trying to understand this. We were trying to read this in the Mishnah. We were trying to read this in the Braisa. It doesn't read well, neither in the Mishnah nor the Braisa. There's ambiguity. So, but Now that we're here, so now the Gemara is going to quote Rebbe Elazar, and Rebbe Elazar says exactly that. Igad Amri, Amr Rebbe Elazar, Minayin LeBechor Shnol BaMum B'Soch Shnaso Shnosan Lo Shoshin Yom Acher Shnaso. Now the second version does not say this. The second version says that according to Rebbe Elazar, you have a 30-day extension after the first year, even though it developed a blemish in the middle of the year, which is not what we've been saying up until now. Just 1 second. Shenamar lifnei Hashem lokech etoch lana shana b'shana. Izo hein yamim achashuvim shana. Havei omer elu shloshim yom. We are now offering up a third possible explanation of shana b'shana. Sometimes the year is just 30 days. Rashi points to the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Take a look at the beginning of the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. Where is it? Not the beginning, like Daf Yud. All right, that's already a third in. But Rosh Hashanah is not a long masechta. What is it, 30, 31 blot? So 35. Okay. So but it's already... So anyway, but in the Rosh Hashanah, you'll see that 30 days constitutes a year. So now, according to this version of Rebbe Elazar, if it develops a blemish anytime within the first year, you're given shana that year. Shana, another year. Another full year? No. A 30-day year. That's not... We haven't seen this before. This is a totally new pshan in shana b'shana. The Gemara is going to basically refute this. Meisve, no la lomum b'chamisha asayom b'soch shanaso, mashlim lo chamisha asayom achar shanaso. Okay, the brisa that we just quoted clearly refutes this, because it says that if it develops a blemish 15 days before the end of the year, you're given only 15 days after the year is over. According to this new and innovative pshat of Rebbe Elazar, you should be given 30 days after the year is over. Shana b'shana. So, hashlama'in mehavelo. You're not given another 30 days. Tiyufta de Rebbe Elazar, tiyufta. So the Gemara refutes. Okay, now, good. Now we have a simple bottom line. Bottom line is that if it develops a blemish within the first year, you'll have to the end of that first year to eat it. Period. After the first year is over, then what? Then you're given a 30-day cushion. Now, you're given a 30-day cushion after the development of a blemish, meaning you may be holding on to the animal 2 years, 3 years. Only when it develops a blemish, now you're given a 30-day cushion. And we saw earlier, really, you don't even have that cushion. Meaning, really, you should be shechting it the day that the chacham comes and tells you it has a blemish. And you're on borrowed time because you're after a year, but hashabbat saveda, meaning 30-day extension.
The 30-day clock starts running after the chacham confirms that it's a blemish.
I assume.
You wait like 29 days and take it to the guy the 29th day and the guy says,
I assume it's after the chacham's ruling.
How can you keep it for 2 or 3 years?
Yeah.
No,
because without a Beis HaMikdash, you're going to keep it for 2 or 3 years. Without a Beis HaMikdash, there's nothing to do.
It's not a blemish.
So if the animal develops a blemish,
you just said right now, you can wait.
What we do nowadays is we never get to this situation. We exempt the Bechor. We have a partnership of a non-Jew in it, and so therefore there's no Kedushas Bechor. That obviates the whole issue.
That's not a chod that you're instructed to do. Is that an option?
No, it's an option, but it's a recommended option. The halacha recommends that we do that now. Uh-huh. Because we don't want to get to the situation. Look, imagine, you have a before, 2 years, 3 years later. Okay, now, after the 30-day extension, then what? So the Gemara never actually says, so Rashi, I'm going to show you Rashi, and Ur Shalakama Afilo Yom Achad. I'm going back a little bit. But it's fine though, because Rashi really deals with this straight out. The Kasagadacha, and Rashi is about third down the page. The Kasagadacha nola ba mumbisok shanasokai, vektani avamimne hashava sevedal abalan dahinu kohen, deshema imbiyad yisoa have, habachor lo mishkach kohen le misfale. So why are you given a 30-day extension? So Rashi explains it's very simple. Because you have a kohen on hand. Look, I have a room full of people right now. I have no kohen on hand. So the Chachamim give you that 30 days.
They accept the coin now? I mean, don't they say you don't have
it? Nowadays it's a different story. But I'm saying, but Bismana Gemara, this was all practiced. V'ishachet ishlei yasriya chabasar. And what am I supposed to do right now? I'm supposed to shechet it right now, but the meat's going to spoil. Amr Rishalakaim Olama Yom. Now, so therefore you can hold on to it for 30 days, but that 30 days, you're only doing one thing for those 30 days, and that's find a Kohen, to give it to a Kohen. The Ilo Mashka Kohen, now, what if you don't find a Kohen? So the Chachamim afforded you this 30-day extension. And if you don't find a Kohen, Rashi says, Shochto Umolcho. So then you shecht it, and then you salt it. Ad Sheyimtza Kohen, until you find a Kohen. The preservative of choice back then, where refrigeration was a couple thousand years away, was salting.
This is Rashi recommending for his time? For his time?
What Rashi is saying is just an explanation of the Gemara. In the time of the Gemara, when there was no Beis HaMikdash, they had a Bechor.
Right. That's what they did, and so on.
And so what they then did is they found a Kohen, they gave it to a Kohen. They were still giving Truma in the time of the Gemara.
When did the Zechuta of Kohenim was lost?
I don't know. It's a fair question. I'm not really sure.
No one knows when they lost it or where they lost it.
The whole window of 30 days, you said, starts after the Munkah decided to leave.
That's what I said. I mean, the Gemara never actually says that.
That gives you a loophole because there's no time restriction for you to, once you develop the Munkah, you don't have any time to take it to the Munkah, is there?
Right.
You have 30 days after you confirm that that's a Munkah.
Yeah, you're right. It's a fair point. I'm not even prepared to argue. It's a fair point.
Doesn't Gemara discuss the burning of challah because we don't have the zechut of kohanim at the time?
No, the Gemara. Just yesterday we saw that the challah was given to
the burning of
the minhag started when we started losing track of who was a kohen and who's not. And keep in mind also by challah, there's another issue which is the challah has kedusha, has sanctity. Kohen has to be in a state of Tahara in order to eat it. Our Kohanim are not in a state of Tahara. We no longer have Parvei Aduma.
So which one is the issue? That they're not being in Tahara or they're not knowing the
Both food? Are issues. Both are issues.
Does it matter whether the blemish happens purposely or
mistakenly? Well, we'll discuss that later on. That's the topic coming up later on in the Gemara. Hashocher is the Bechor, Mara is Momo. Okay, now, right, first you ask questions, then you shoot. Okay, right, you know that. But some people don't. Some people first shoot, and then they ask questions.
It's easier that way.
It's a little messier, but you're right. You're right. It's it. Okay. Hashochet is a bechor, mara is mum. So you understand that the standard procedure should have been, first you show the blemish to the mumcha, and you ask him, is this a blemish or not? Now, what is your answer going to be, or two possible answers? Really, three possible answers. The first possible answer is, what are you looking at right now? That's nothing. That's not a blemish. That's called an animal. So the first answer is, you just simply have no idea what you're talking about, which is probably what I would hear. If I were asking the question. Do you know that Rav, right, where's this Gemara? Sanhedrin. Do you know that Rav spent over a year learning all the halachas of mumim, of blemishes? He went to, right, the Gemara Sanhedrin tells us, he went to a farm, and he spent over a year learning what is a blemish and what is not a blemish. You need hands-on, you need a chacham. And not just, not a Talmud Chacham. You need a person who really knows his business. So that's answer number one. Answer number two you can get is it's a blemish, but it's a mum over. It'll pass. It's going to heal. Or the third possible answer you're going to get is go ahead, green light. Right? Mum kavua. Right? This is a permanent blemish. Okay? You could check it now. You can eat it now. Good. Now, and the standard procedure is first you ask, and then you shech the animal. The Mishnah deals with the person who got too excited. He first shechted the animal, and then...
Is it a Cohen?
Let's assume it's a Cohen. Okay. And then you come over and you say, oh, I forgot to ask.
What difference does it make? He's going to eat it anyways if there's no better
advice. Okay, the difference is... Well, just wait. Okay, let's... Let me read a little bit because obviously All this is exciting, and I'm building it up too much. Okay, and so first he shechted it, and then he called over the mumcha. So the Mishnah says, Hashoch is a b'chor maritz mumcha, Rav Yehuda matir. So Rav Yehuda says, okay, he's not condoning, he's not saying this is what you should do, but it's okay. And Ramir Omer, and Ramir says, no. And this is a halacha. Ho v'nishcha shalapi mumcha asr. Now, you did inappropriately, and therefore it's going to be asr. Now, what does it sound like? What are you hearing right now? It sounds like a kanas. It sounds like a penalty. Meaning, in theory, it should work. But Rameir is basically saying you were so inappropriate in the fact that first you shechted and now you're asking questions if it was a blemish or not. So, no. Misha ain't a mumcha.
It's a prevention because everybody else can do that the same thing.
Right. Misha ain't a mumcha v'roos v'bechor v'nishchar apiv harizei kaveri v'shalami beso. Now, let's say you're not a mumcha, meaning you're not Rav and you didn't study mumcha for over a year, and you're just paskening halacha because, yeah, you think so, you know? Yeah, I do. So, Misha ain't a mumcha, v'roas ha-bechor, v'nishchat al-piv, ha-reze yikavit. So first of all, you bury the animal because he has no business paskening, and libel. He has liability. He told you to go ahead and to shecht it, and it wasn't appropriate, and he gave you bad advice, and he has liability, and he's got to pay. He's showing me based on. Okay, stay tuned. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. Seemingly. Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Bedukin Sheba Ayin, Dekol Amal Apligi, De'asar Mimnei Sheheim Mishtanen. Look, certain blemishes we know actually go and undergo a physical change both before and after death. The Gemara says, for example, Dukin Sheba Ayin, this cataract. Now, I'm not sure if I'm expressing it correctly. I'm not sure if cataract is the right way to describe it, but there was a blemish that the animal had in the eye. It was a mild blemish, but still it was a blemish. And for this, you can check. The issue is that the eye undergoes an actual change before and after death. So in other words, even if it demonstrates a blemish after death, that in no way indicates that was there before the animal died. So by Dukin Sheba Ayin, there's no debate. Meaning everyone's in agreement that even if you show the mumcha, look, right, you open the eye of the animal after it dies and you show the cataract, but it could have been, everyone understands, could have been not there prior to death. Could be that death actually caused it. Lo nechlegu ela b'mumcha beguf. So the whole debate of our Mishnah is dealing with bodily mumin that were there and is not changed by death. The Rav Meir Savar Gazrin Mumin Shabaguf Atu Dukin Shabayim. Rav Yehuda Savar Lo Gazrin Mumin Shabaguf Atu Dukin Shabayim. Where Rav Meir says I'm making a gzera, I'm making one, but there is a gzera, and Rav Yehuda says that there is no gzera. Tanya Nami Hak. The Gemara says this is accurate. Hashochas b'chor amare is mumav Rav Yehuda amar b'dukin shabayin asur b'mnei sheim mishtanin b'mumim shabaguf. I'm sorry, b'mnei sheim mishtanin, comma, b'mumim shabaguf, motu b'mnei sheim mishtanin. So in the Braisa, what we're learning now is exactly what we just said.
Why do you have to put this Braisa? It's the same thing that we already knew.
No. No, because the Mishnah didn't tell us that there's
But the discussion that he just quoted both Abner and Yehuda, and then he goes and uses Braisa to show what they're saying.
No, Rabba Bar Chana did not quote. Rabba Bar Chana said that as his understanding of the debate, and now the Gemara is going to bring a Braisa proving that his understanding is correct. So she'ein mishan Rav Meir Omer echazev echazev asur min mishein mishtanim. So they change. Mimnei shehein mishtanim sagadacha. What do you mean? They don't. That's the whole idea of mamim shebeguf. Mamim shebeguf mim mishtanim ela mimnei ha mishtanim. Correct. The bodily mamim do not change. Before and after death, it's the same mamim that you see now that it was. But because of other mamim that do change, notably dukin sheba ayin. So therefore, a mayor says, you know what? Because of that, we're making a gzera de rabban. We're going to call it a knas, that if you didn't ask before you shechtin, you cannot have a chacham look at it even after you shecht. Amar of Nachan by Yitzhak, Masnisen Nami Deka. In fact, let's go back to the Mishnah. We'll read the Mishnah carefully, and you'll see that what we just said is pshat in the Mishnah. Amar Omer Hov Nishka Shalom Api Mamcha Asar. Shmamina Knasa Kakanis. The Gemara makes a deal that we made when we read the Mishnah. Meaning, Rav Meir in the Mishnah says, do you know why we're not going to ask you, allow you to ask a mumcha? Because you didn't ask a mumcha. Meaning, the Mishnah doesn't say, because it changes. The Mishnah says, because you didn't ask a mumcha. So essentially, what you're hearing in the Mishnah, this is a kanas. Good. Rav Meir Shema, I'm sorry. Kakanas Rav Meir Shema Minah. Ibai luhum. Imnei ha mishan v'kula mishani, odom ma'ika de mishan v'ika de la mishani. The Gemara wonders the following. We said that a cataract goes through a transformation, we could say one of two ways. A cataract does go through a transformation, right, every single time, or the cataract could go through a transformation. Is it that it's possible, or every single time the animal dies, the eye is going to change? Okay. Lamai nafkamin, the Gemara says, practically speaking, is there a difference? The Gemara says, yeah, lachu shesahade. So the Gemara says, because what if I have testimony? For example, iamar kula mishani shakri nenu. Look, if we're saying now that they always change, so imagine now the animal dies and you open the eyelid and you show the eye. And lo and behold, dukin shabayin. And the witnesses come and they step forward and they say, you know what? It was the same way when the animal was alive. So now we look to the witnesses and we say, "You're what are you talking about? You're wrong. Every single time the animal dies, it goes through this transformation. Or if the other way to say it is that it's subject to change, so samchina alayhu. So then we could rely on witnesses. Now, I ask a simple question. When are we listening to these witnesses? Is this question only according to Rabbi Yehuda? Because according to Rabbi Meir, if you didn't ask beforehand, you don't have the ability to ask afterwards.
And they're not mumchim, because had they been mumchim, then that would have been
served. Right. We're not saying that these witnesses are mumchim. We're just simply saying that they are testifying that what you see now is what was there. But my only question right now is, according to Rav Meir, what good does that do? Rav Meir penalizes the person who didn't ask. So maybe this question is only within Rabbi Yehuda. Perhaps. Anyway, I am correct, right? The Rashi, Samchina Alayu V'Shar LeRav Yehuda DeLo Kanes. Yes, okay, good. This question is only going to Rav Yehuda. My Tashma Dama Rabba Bavachana Sachli Rav Yosha Demenusho Bavarecha Beduvin Shehem Vishanin Midikar. So I'm sorry. Let me go a little bit slower. So Rav Yosha Demenusha got so excited. Come. Look what just happened, right? I just saw the eye change. So, meaning, if he got so excited, it means this is an unusual event. Not unusual, but we don't see it that often. So you see that it's subject to change. Doesn't have to change. So the Gemara says, it seems that this next part is speaking to the position of Rav Meir. So the Gemara says, Doma b'dukin shabayim v'divar akol. Not necessarily. It could be that this part of the Mishnah is talking about dukin shabayim. Okay. Tana kushu mashal mishalim revi'a ladak umechza legasa. Okay. The posek who shouldn't be paskening. You go to somebody who's not a registered mumcha, and you ask him, yes, blemish or not blemish? And he says, it's a blemish. And you shecht it. And it turns out the guy had no idea what he was talking about. And now he has to pay. Now let's think this through. First of all, we'll talk tomorrow about why he's liable. Okay?
Yeah.
That's tomorrow's discussion. But right now, we're just not going to talk about why. We're just going to talk right now about how much. We'll finish off today's daf with this discussion. How much does he have to pay? Now think this through. Because on one hand, he paskened incorrectly. On the other hand, he may have caused zero loss. Look, this animal may live for the rest of its life without developing a blemish. To which the Kohen enjoys how much of it?
Zero.
So you're now somewhere between causing a full loss, because could be that the animal will develop a blemish, which means that the Kohen will be able to enjoy it, or he could have caused no loss. So now we're trying to assess, how much damage did you cause? And there's a range of either you cause zero or 100%. So what are we going to charge him? So it's an interesting conclusion of the Gemara. which is, so if it's a small animal, a quarter, and if it's a large animal, half. Half, you understand, kind of. Because we're going to average. Right. The quarter is difficult to understand. And, okay, that's a possible explanation. The Gemara's not going to give that explanation, but it's a possible explanation. And even a half, by the way, just we'll end on this note, even a half is not that easy to understand because, as Ben accurately points out, oh, I know that, that's simchas.
You don't accept them.
Yeah, but, right, here's the problem. We don't accept simchas.
So it's like,
okay, so let's put it all together. So first, let me read the Gemara. Tana Kishum Hashem Hashem Reveal Adakom Echzal Gasam Aitam Amar Rav Papa Zehef Semerub Zehef Semua. So the Gemara's first reaction to the discrepancy is, well, one's a little bit of damage, one's a lot. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Ihachil from Sedali Shalem. I understand. This is a ratio. Well, you're looking at a large animal, you're looking at a small animal. What difference does it make? You're looking at a ratio. So Amar Rav Huna Bar Manuch Mishmei Deravacha Bar Ika Mishum Gzeres Megala Behem Adaka Naguba. Now, for the small animal, it's behema daka. Now, Rashi offers two explanations. Rashi's first explanation is, it cost a lot of money to raise and support smaller animals. I don't understand this, but again, I'm not a farmer. But it costs more money to raise a smaller animal, so therefore, we assess a smaller amount for the smaller animal. Rashi's second pshat is, you're not allowed to raise small animals. Okay, in Israel. Okay, so that's two possible explanations. The last thing I want to show you is Tosfos, which basically raises the following issue. Basically, we're looking for an average over here. Why? Because the range of possible loss is 0 to 100, so it's mamon hamuta b'safek. So, Tosfos says this is sumchus. So, it's not really sumchus. Alpha pisha perisha kunshus mishum dahave mamon hamuta b'safek shema yatirenu chacham amom v'shema lo yatirenu. La mishum de tesi kesimchus. It's not really because we're holding like simchus. Ela takanas chachamim ba'amahu. This is a separate takanas chachamim that the assessed damage is going to be 50 of the 100. Meaning we're going to borrow simchus terminology, but it's not really because we're passing like simchus. This is a separate takana. Okay, tomorrow what we'll discuss is, why is there liability? What damage did he actually cause? Meaning, we know what happened, but in order to be liable for damages, you have to actually cause the damage. That'll be the beginning of the opening of tomorrow's discussion.